And now we'll turn to the Republican candidates for the U.S. House, and we'll get opening statements first from Mr. John R. Cox.
Thank you.
You have one minute.
How you doing? My name's John Cox. I am a retired Navy veteran, where I taught Sears School. Please allow me to express my deepest appreciation for your support, patriotism. My goal for the seat for the U.S. House of Representatives is to return the voice back to the people. I've seen Alaska go through many changes, and unless we change what's going on with our federal government, our future of this great state and for our children looks bleak. We need jobs for Alaskans now and a stronger economy, not government controls, bailouts, or stimulus packages. Alaskans, we are a unique group of individuals, and I'm very proud to be considered one. A little bit about more about myself. I believe in God, this country, and the Constitution. You cannot lead a country or protect a country if you do not set an example. The administration is showing the world that they are not leading by example. Now, if I tell you I'm going to do something, you can count on it getting done. For as long as there's a breath in my heart, or a breath in my lungs, and a beat in my heart, I will be there for the protection of the people and the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. And now, Sheldon Fisher, your one-minute opening statement, please.
Thank you for hosting this event. I was disappointed to learn this afternoon that Mr. Young would not be participating in this debate. Forums such as this are foundational to the democratic process, and I'd hope that since this is the only opportunity we'll have as candidates in this campaign to debate, that he would make this a priority. But I call upon Mr. Young to find time in his schedule at his convenience, and I'll be there. I've never sought political office before, but I do have 20 years of experience as a business executive getting things done. We're struggling, both as Alaskans and as a nation. Unemployment is at an all-time high, and nothing the government does seems to help. Mr. Young has served in Congress longer than almost anyone else in Washington. He supported the auto bailout and $250 billion of stimulus spending. He also has the worst attendance record of anyone in Congress. If he doesn't share responsibility for the failures of Congress, who would we hold accountable? I have a solution to cut federal spending and take our country off this failing course, and I'd appreciate your vote on August 24th.
Thank you, Mr. Sheldon Fisher. And now it's time for the first candidate question round. And the first question will be from Mr. Fisher. You have about 30 seconds to ask your question, and then Mr. Cox, you'll have 1 minute to answer, and then a 1 minute rebuttal, and then quickly wrapping up. Mr. Fisher?
Mr. Cox, you'll forgive me. I'm going to ask the question that I would have asked of Mr. Young if he were here. The unions have been pushing for passage of a controversial legislation known as card check that would eliminate secret ballot in certain union votes. Most observers believe that card check would subject employees to coercion and dramatically shift the balance of power towards union bosses. Unions have spent as much as $300 million to promote card check. President Obama campaigned on the pledge to enact it. 94% of Republicans voted against it, and yet Mr. Young voted in favor of it.
Thank you. Quickly, please, your question.
Do you have any idea why he might have voted for that?
I have no idea why he voted for it. I do believe that there should be limits on campaign donations and the bailouts for unions of that nature.
All right. Would you like time to rebuttal?
Thank you. Yes. At an earlier event earlier this year, I heard Mr. Young respond to that question, and he affirmed his support of unions. But what I didn't hear from Mr. Young was a principled defense of card check, and I was disappointed because I actually do respect politicians that are willing to stand up for what's right, even if many oppose it. But card check isn't right. It's un-American, it's undemocratic, and in fact, a poll about a year ago suggested that over 70% of rank-and-file union members oppose it. The concern I have, and I hear it from many people, is that Mr. Young is willing to advocate bad policy in support of those who generously contribute to his campaign. And unions are among the largest donor to his campaign. Winston Churchill said that politicians focus on the next election, and statesmen focus on the next generation.
Thank
now, I know
you,
I'm not
Fisher.
Winston Churchill.
We need you to wrap up. Thank you. And now you've just got a few seconds for a final response, and then you will ask a question.
To his?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a few seconds.
I believe that this state and the country needs to be able to work without card checks and And I'm all in favor of it. Sheldon, you and I both believe the same thing, that these issues that Don Young has voted on in the past should be repealed and looked at seriously.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. And now we'll go to the second candidate round, question round. And this time it will be Mr. John Cox asking a question. Very quickly, please, about 30 seconds, ask a question. You'll have 1 minute to respond, Mr. Fisher, and then you'll have 1 minute for rebuttal.
Recently, the bailout of the teachers' unions were brought to the forefront again of this nation. Should members of the House be able to vote on whether those issues, they should be bailed out if they are recipients of their campaign donations?
Well, that's an interesting thought you have there. I assume you're suggesting that a member might have a conflict of interest in that scenario. I haven't heard that proposed. It certainly would dramatically change the financing of legislation and races in Congress. As a general matter, I don't know that we need to go that far. I do think that people ought to be able to contribute to candidates that support their view, and if every candidate was held in conflict of interest for just because the person that they that supported their candidacy had an interest in that legislation, I don't see how we would get, we would have anybody left in Congress that could vote. So I don't know that we need to go that far, but I certainly support your feeling that we need to take money and the corruption element out of the political process.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. And now you have 1 minute.
One of the reasons I believe that we do need to make this happen is because they're trying to pass legislation of term limits. You have a lot of individuals that are in bed with big companies. That's the facts. Now, if they are not in bed with an individual, then they should be allowed to vote, okay? So passing this type of bill will allow us to make sure that those individuals that are representing the state, they are true in what they're doing for the people of this nation.
Very quickly, just a few seconds. Response?
I think I've made my point. I think we need to restore confidence in government by limiting the influence of special interests, and I'll support rational initiatives that do that.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's my turn to ask a question now, and I will ask you first, Mr. Cox. As a veteran, do you think the U.S. should completely withdraw troops from Iraq by next year? And what are the indicators that would tell you that timeline is appropriate, if you think so?
I do believe that we need to bring our troops home, okay? We are fighting a religious war over there, and there's no winning a religious war. Two, we cannot fight a war with the government controlling operations. It just doesn't work. As a veteran, you see that every day. Now, my beliefs are that we should bring our troops home and put them on our borders and protect our borders.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Fisher, would you like to respond to that question also? I would ask you the same question. Do you think the troops should come home next year?
I don't support a firm timetable. Obviously, I think that we'd all like to get our troops out of harm's way as fast as we can. But I think that we owe it to the people of Iraq to give democracy a chance. And so I think that we need to continue to support the government there. I support withdrawing the troops as fast as we reasonably can, but the things I would look for would be an independent military that's able to defend itself and survive and support the government in the absence of U.S. presence of troops.
Thank you very much. My next question will be first posed to you, Mr. Fisher. And do you think that the federal government should pay for telecommunications, either upgrades or advancements in rural communities, rural Alaska?
You know, the federal government has historically paid, and I think it's good policy. As a nation, we benefit when the entire nation is able to communicate, and those communities certainly do. And so there have been a history of programs that have funded high-cost areas in our country, and I think it's appropriate. I think that it benefits our nation as a whole to have those programs in place.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Cox, would you like to respond to that question as well? Do you think the federal government should be in the business of supporting telecommunications infrastructure?
That's a double-edged sword right there. Anytime the federal government is involved with the public service, i.e. schooling, education, they are going to want to dictate what goes on. Yes, we need to support the outlying areas so that they get the education, the information that we need to help them move along.
All right, thank you. All right, so now I will ask a question starting with you, Mr. Cox. Oh, I'm sorry, it's time for closing statements. So, closing statements first from you, Mr. Cox. 1 minute.
1 minute. For the people of Alaska, you have a difficult choice coming this Tuesday. You can vote for Don Young, the incumbent, and stay within your comfort zone and stay within the path that this nation is headed in. Or you can vote for Sheldon Fisher, the attorney businessman, a newcomer to the state of Alaska. Or you can vote for myself, a graduate of Bartlett Begich, a resident of Alaska since 1976, and a retired Navy veteran. I was also a financial advisor for individuals who've gotten too far into debt. We need to focus on putting our economy on the right track with free market principles. I currently have a plan ready to go that will not cost the government or the people any taxes or will come along the way of the Reagan thinking. This country in the past has entrusted me with the lives of your husbands, wives, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, and while I was in charge, I never lost a life. I'm asking the people of Alaska to trust me one more time. Trust me with the protection of the state of Alaska, this country, and our way of life.
Thank you, Mr. John Cox. And now, Sheldon Fisher, your 1 minute closing statement, please.
Elections are about choices, and Mr. Young and I are both Republicans, and in so many respects, we'd probably see eye to eye, but not always. I have a plan to restore fiscal responsibility. It's going to require hard choices and sacrifice, but the sooner we get started, the easier it'll be. In the last 10 years, Mr. Young's greatest contributions in Congress have added to our federal deficit. Mr. Young has pledged his vote to big labor to the point of supporting card check legislation to eliminate the secret ballot. This union power grab would harm our economy, and I oppose it. I'll work hard for Alaskans. Mr. Young has the worst attendance record of any Republican in Congress. Just last week, a fellow Republican was quoted in Politico saying, and I quote, "Don is like never there. He's not a player. He'd have to go back and reintroduce himself to members," close quote. I commit to be engaged every day with an attendance record you can be proud of. I'm Sheldon Fisher, and I will use my experience and skill as a business leader to get Alaska and America back on the path of stability and prosperity.
Thank you, Mr. Sheldon Fisher. Thank you to all of the candidates who joined me this evening. I'm Lori Townsend, and I want to thank you also for watching and listening. In the next hour, Michael Carey will be your host for the Lieutenant Governor and Governor candidates. We'll be back in just a few moments with those candidates.